In the Pew Bible, it's page 681. Familiar story of the visit of the Magi, the wise men, to Christ. Hear God's word. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another way. Amen. Please be seated. This is a very familiar and story of the birth narratives of Jesus Christ. It's a very simple account. Nothing exactly flowery in it. A simple statement. They're Magi in the east, saw the star. They came to Jerusalem. They inquire of Herod where the one who was born King of the Jews was to be found. They go on their way and find him and meet with them. It's a part of the story that's been very much embellished over the years. There's Christmas cards that show three kings presenting their gifts to Jesus, the baby in a manger. We have the song we sometimes sing. "We three kings of Orient are, carry gifts, we travel afar." Of course, the Bible doesn't give us any detailed information like that. We don't know that there were only three of them. We know that there were three gifts. We don't know there was only three of them. We have no idea that they're kings. They're called magi, or sometimes wise men. They're astrologers from the east. We don't know exactly when they arrived. From the details of the text, it appears that they actually arrived at a house where Jesus was perhaps a toddler and not in the manger. Not that we have to be overly upset by any of that anyway. But the point of Matthew and his account is really a focus of Matthew's a gospel written to the Jews, the coming of Christ for them. But here is a reminder from the very beginning that Gentiles are included. And for those of us that are Gentiles, we're really glad for that. There's much in the story that would be interesting, but what I want to focus on for just a few minutes are the gifts. What are the gifts that they bring to Jesus Christ? Well, the first is they bring gold. And we can see from the get-go that what an appropriate gift to bring to the one who they understood was the King of the Jews. The metal gold is a sign of royalty. It has throughout history been showered on those who ruled and reigned. They enamored their crowns or their garments with gold, and they shone in their glory. It's the metal of kings. And it was very appropriate that these magi would bring to this one the metal of kings, the one who would be the king. We know him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There are some who reflect on the fact that God in his providence provided the means through the gold by which Jesus and his parents could travel to Egypt to flee Herod's wrath. But the key thing is that this gift is a pointer to Jesus' royalty, that he's the king. The second gift is incense. And this, again, is a very appropriate gift. We can see it from the outset how appropriate it is. Incense was used in worship. Incense reflected Jesus' role as our great high priest, as he offers sacrifices to God on our behalf. But there's an interesting thing about the use of incense in Old Testament worship is, incense was used in the thank offerings and the fellowship offerings, but it was never used in the sin offering. Because it communicated the sense of purity and holiness and righteousness. And what a fitting image of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was without sin, who was holy, harmless, and undefiled. The incense is a beautiful picture both of Christ as the sinless one and the one who would bring the sacrifice to God. And we come to that third gift, myrrh. And while gold was very appropriate and while incense was very appropriate, this gift puzzles us. Myrrh was used in embalming. It was a spice that had everything to do with death. And it seems odd, even offensive, to think of bringing a gift like this to the child Christ. Why in the world would you bring the image of death to a baby who is just beginning his life? And myrrh was very important. We know when Jesus did die, Nicodemus provided 100 pounds of myrrh and spices to prepare his body for burial. There's an ancient city called Smyrna where this was a chief product of the city. But as you and I reflect on Jesus and his calling and his coming, we realize that it's actually a very appropriate gift. We don't know what was in the minds of the Magi as they brought that gift. We don't know how much they knew, but had they read the Hebrew scriptures? We don't know, but it's possible that these scholars had read the Old Testament. And they would have read in there that David and the suffering one would cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he would have his bones broken, or he would be exposed to all his people. They would have read in Isaiah that he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Perhaps they understood in a very small way the fact that this king would also suffer. And so these three gifts, great and wonderful and important images of Christ, gold for his royalty, incense for the purity of his life and the offering that he would make, and myrrh for his sufferings. The question I would ask you as you think about these gifts and how they point to Christ is, what gifts do you bring to Christ? What are you giving to the Lord? What can you give to the King? And these three gifts, in a sense, are a good reminder of what you can and must, should bring to the Lord. I want to take them in the reverse order. You first bring myrrh. It's a sign of death. It reminds you that in one sense you have nothing that you can give to the King. You and I by nature are dead in trespasses and sins. Myrrh is a very appropriate reminder of our need. But myrrh is also a very important reminder that we have to die to our own interests, die to self through repentance. That's the first step to truly worshiping the Lord. We have to die. We have to bring the myrrh of our own death to Him. Are we prepared to give that gift of grace to Him? Then we bring incense, worship, obedience, purity. We don't have any purity of our own lives to give. But as we come to know the Lord and the Holy Spirit works in our hearts, we offer to the Lord a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our spiritual worship. We offer our incense to Him, our worship, ourselves, to live and honor Him. And then we bring gold, the surrender of our lives to Jesus Christ, that we might live in obedience to Him. Because He's given everything for us. We follow Him in faith, and we follow Him in obedience. So the question is, are you, by God's grace, able and willing to give those gifts to our Lord? Are you willing to die to yourself and to your sin? Are you willing to offer to the Lord yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him? Are you willing to bow the knee to Him as your King and your Lord? In this way, you and I truly experience, as the angels would proclaim, the good news of great joy, which will be for all people. May you and I experience that by God's grace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your great and wonderful mercy in sending Your Son Jesus Christ to be the Savior, our Savior from sin. We ask, O Lord, that You will work in our hearts as we reflect on this wonderful event of His birth, that we might give Him the glory that He's due, and that we might die to our own interests, that we might offer ourselves as servants and sacrifice to You and live in obedience to our holy and wonderful King, that You might be glorified in our lives and all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.